Good afternoon, brethren. Really, it's a joy to be able to be with you today and to have the opportunity to speak to you. But what a wonderful elders' conference that we've had, and what a wonderful Sabbath day that we're experiencing. And the unity and the love and the harmony that we feel here is just so very wonderful to feel. And God, I know, is well pleased looking down upon us. We heard from Roger's message this morning that God has called us to be first fruits in his, to be prepared for the first resurrection so that we can serve and rule with Christ in the millennium. But you know, with that calling, there comes responsibility, and we have our part to play. And we all know that, because if it was easy, if it was something that was just a calling and you accept, then it would be easy, but it requires effort. And brethren, one of the things I'm going to be speaking about today is the importance of diligence. Due diligence in your calling. And the question being is, are you putting in the required diligence to your calling to assure that you will reach the kingdom of God and be in the first resurrection? Because God's word teaches us that diligence is a quality, a characteristic that we need to have to make it through the troubling, difficult times, because we are in the end time. But what is diligence, and what are the characteristics of diligence? So we're going to be looking into that this afternoon, and hopefully this will help us all to gear up, if you will, to keep our eyes focused on the kingdom and to really be able to go forward with full effort to achieve the kingdom. Years ago, I was teaching college chemistry, and I teach organic chemistry, and one of the times I remember, a student came up to me, and he was a pre-med student, and he said, "You know, Dr. Kendall, I really need to get an A in this course. What do I need to do to get that A?" Because he was looking for a shortcut. He was looking for some great way I could give him to achieve the A. And I said, I told him, you're reasonably intelligent, right?" And he said, "Yes, okay, that helps, but beyond that, but beyond that." It's going to take effort on your part, work, and due diligence to get a good grade in this class. And I said to him, "If you attend every class, take good notes, do the assignments that I'm going to give you, all the work assignments, and be able to ask questions in class on those things you don't understand, and pursue the knowledge and the understanding, the principles, and to really come to love this subject, I'll guarantee you, you'll get a good grade." And he said, "Oh, Dr. Kendall, that's a lot of work." And I said, "That's the point." And you know, God comes to us, and he calls us into his begotten family. And you know, he's given us an assignment. He's given us work to do. We have to work on ourselves. God does the work in the sense that he writes his laws and his way of life into us. But we have to choose, brethren. We have to choose to keep on keeping on. We have to choose to every day to do those things that God requires of us, and to do it with our might, to do it with all the effort and strength and knowledge that God gives to us. Let's turn to 2 Peter, and let's turn to, and that would be chapter 3 and verse 13. That's 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, verse 13, because here, the Apostle Peter shows us very clearly that God wants us to apply diligence in our calling. And let's read 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, verse 13. "But according to his promise," Peter writes, "we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And for this reason, beloved, since you are anticipating these things, be diligent so that you may be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless." And so what Peter is saying here is that we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to be diligent in our calling, not to look at it lightly and that we just can kind of coast along and kind of, you know, go with the flow. We have to go against the stream. We have to go against the flow of traffic, because we learned this morning, we are pilgrims in a world that's going in the other direction. We have to fight against the current of this world. We really do. Let's turn over to Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, because this is a scripture that we've looked at and understand, but I want to put a new aspect that we might not have considered before. Matthew 7, reading in verses 13 and 14, and you're familiar with this scripture. It says, "Enter into the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through it. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it." All right, God calls those, so that you need to be called to find the narrow gate, because wide is the way for those who don't know the truth of God, and they enter into the wide gate, which leads to destruction. But those who are called enter into the narrow gate, and it takes repentance. It takes, again, a focus on the calling. But brethren, I've come to understand it also takes diligence and hard work to go through the narrow gate. God brings us to that gate, and we then, with his help, we need to enter into the kingdom of God, and it's not an easy road to take. And so we need to develop an attitude, a focus of doing our utmost with the power that God gives us to achieve the kingdom of God. And the fact is that God says if he will do his part, but will we do our part in doing that which God requires? So diligence then is an important principle, concept, which we need to understand. And the Bible has a lot to say about diligence. And we're going to go over some scriptures today, and we're going to see how important it really is. In fact, we're going to read it in 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter comes back and says about diligence. He says, with diligence, you can absolutely know whether you're going to make it into the kingdom of God if you are diligent in building the mind and character of God. And so that's an example we're going to be coming to as we come along. So what do we mean by diligence? If you look into Strong's Concordance and you look up, the English word comes from the Greek word spoudazo, which means to make extreme effort, to dispatch with haste, that is to do it quickly, efficiently, with earnestness, with true desire, to be diligent, and to labor with intensity. That means you really put your might into it. We could phrase it this way, if you would like to expand on that. Diligence means to strive with the whole heart and with all your strength, with all your being, with an eagerness and zeal, because you see the goal, you know where you're going, and you need to go for the goal with enthusiasm and determination that you're not going to fail. You're going to make the final crossing point into the kingdom. God's going to get us there, but we have our part. If we lay down and take a lackadaisical attitude and saying, oh, I can just float along and do the minimum, I'm going to show you some scriptures today that shows that you may not achieve the kingdom, because God wants you to do your part and for me to do my part, to want to love the kingdom so much that we're going to put in absolute effort to achieve it. Let's turn over to Proverbs, because Proverbs teaches us some aspects about diligence. And let's turn over to Proverbs 10 and verse 4. Proverbs 10 and verse 4. And let us read there one verse. He who deals with a lazy hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent make rich. The scripture is very broad, because we can talk about physical richness or we can talk about spiritual riches. And of course, we understand that to become wealthy in a physical sense, you need to work. You need to strive and to put in all of your effort to become abundant, if you will, in your life. Many, many families have done that. But spiritually, God gives us the mine, if you will, his Bible, I say it, that's the mine in which the gold is deposited. But then he asked us to dig into the mine to find the true riches so that we can learn and grow and become like he is. So you can see the effort in becoming spiritually rich is upon us. So the diligent hand, the one who is putting in full effort, will become rich spiritually and to be able to understand the deep things of God. Proverbs 12, verse 24, just turn the page over. Proverbs 12 and verse 24. Interesting verse. It says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the lazy shall be under tribute." Again, we have all these contrasts in Proverbs. So we see now that the diligent hand will bear rule. That means that if you're diligent in the way you conduct your life, and if you show the fruits of that diligence, you will be called upon to lead others because of your example and because of the way you live your life. But if you're lazy and slothful, who's going to follow that example? There's many that fall into that, but they're not going to follow that example. So he who is diligent is one who will bear rule. And brethren, look, let's understand. We're going to rule in the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ. And so we need to be diligent if we're going to be able to grow and become like Christ so that we can rule with him and be his bride. So again, we see the fact that it requires effort and work on our hands. Let's turn over to Proverbs 6. We can turn to God's creation and we can see some natural examples of what it means to be diligent. And let's turn to the example of the lowly ant. I say lowly ant because he's really down there in the ground, but he's not such a pushover when it comes to being diligent. Let's read Proverbs 6, and let's read verses 6 through 11. And here Solomon says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." In other words, if you think you can just lay around and not achieve anything in your life, let's go look at the ant. And have you been out there and looked at an anthill before? Of course you have. Have you seen it? What do you see? Do you see these ants lying around in with sunglasses and just getting sunbathing? No. These ants are always working. They're scurrying about. They're working in due season, aren't they? Yes, they are. Consider the ant, consider her ways, and be wise. Who, having no guide or overseer or ruler, that is, you don't see somebody out there cracking the whip and kind of leading everybody around. They're just doing what they do, you know, and get the food in the hive and taking care of the brood and all of that. Provides her food in summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yes, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And again, we see a contrast here. And brethren, we need to recognize that he who is lazy and with a limp hand is not going to grow and to achieve necessarily the goal that's in hand. So we can look at bees, we can look at, again, the beaver, to be busy as a beaver. And out there. I mean, there are many examples of what it means to be diligent in taking care of things when they need to be taken care of. I grew up in a farm, small farm in Vermont, and it was 110 acres of rocky soil, and it needed work. I mean, we had to be diligent in knowing when to plow, knowing when to plant, knowing when to harvest, because if we didn't do things in due season, we would be hungry in the wintertime. We wouldn't have the means to. In other words, we had to be diligently working with the soil to produce those things that the soil could produce. And I always remembered that my father really taught me the example of diligence, because he was one who wanted to teach their children about really working hard and recognizing the rewards of working hard will always be there. And I remember we had a garden and we would go out and roll, you know, we would hoe and take out the weeds. And he always told us to hoe to the end of the row. Don't stop halfway through the row. You've got to get all the weeds out. And we did, because he was back there and he was keeping us in line. But he said, any job worth doing is worth doing well. And so we've been called to achieve the kingdom of God. And our attitude needs to be zealous, and we need to be in full strength and power to do that with diligence and with all the strength and might. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, let's turn over there, because it really expresses what diligence is all about. And that is, and turned the wrong way, over to Ecclesiastes and chapter 9, and I should read verse 10. And here it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work, nor plan, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go. Brethren, we have a limited period of time. It's called the life cycle. And we have time now to be diligently working toward the kingdom of God. And we're going to see how this works. But we need to understand that if we don't do it, no one is going to do it for us. Salvation is an individual matter. And we need to be doing the work toward the kingdom of God in a manner and a way that with determination, with zeal, and to be able to grow and to overcome and to do those things that God would have us do. But how much is enough? How far do you have to grow to fulfill your calling? I know I want to grow as much as I can. I want to become as more like Jesus Christ, and to overcome as much as I can in this life so that I can be a better service in the kingdom. But if I have the idea that I'm just going to go so far and I'm just going to rest the rest of the way, what's going to happen there? So let's go over some points that the Bible points out of why we need to be diligent. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6, talking about the spiritual elements in our lives. We need to be diligent. Hebrews 11 and reading verse 6. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God. For it is mandatory for one who comes to God to believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, this scripture shows very clearly that we need to be diligently seeking God, not just once or twice, but this is a daily thing. We need to seek God diligently in the morning, in prayer, and in study. We need to seek God in the afternoon. We go battle different issues in life. And as we seek him for help and for guidance and making sure that we are, again, that we are seeking God on a daily basis, then we're diligently working for the kingdom of God and doing those things that are pleasing to him. Because when we're close to God, we can overcome any barrier, any problem that we come up against. God will help us. Turn to Psalm 119. Going back and forth here, but this is the way the Bible is put together. Here a little, there a little, line upon line. Let's turn back to Psalm 119, please. In fact, we've been there a few times already today. Psalm 119, and let's read verses 1 through 4. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies and who seek him with the whole heart. That's diligence, brethren. Not just half an effort, but the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. In other words, here's this aspect of doing things with all our might, to keep his commandments with all our might. Precepts, these are the principles and even thoughts of God. So the principles of God, we need to just grab hold of them and to keep them diligently and to do his will. Please turn over to 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, again, almost a memory verse that we know. It says, diligently study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be focused on Jesus Christ. We need to be focused on the kingdom, on his truth, his way, and his life. And as we study the scriptures, we will grow in that understanding so that we can then practice that way of life. And particularly the way that Christ showed us to do it. And as we heard this morning about dealing with forgiveness, it's just one small area that we need to practice and to work on. But also for prayer, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says to pray unceasingly. So we need to be diligent in study and prayer. And we've heard this all of our lives here in the churches of God, but it's so important, brethren, that you need to be diligent in your study habits and in your prayer, because that is the armor that you put around you. That is the connection that we make with God the Father, learning and growing in that way that we are practicing toward, again, what we would call perfection. We may not be able to reach perfection in this physical body of ours, but God wants us to work for perfection. And that is our goal, the kingdom of God and perfection through the Holy Spirit. We study because we want to be able to recognize false doctrine, the heresies that come in, so that when somebody comes into your group and starts practicing lies and deceit, we are going to understand the truth and we are going to be able to refute it. But if we're not diligent in our study, if we are then taken aside by these tangential thoughts and actions which are not of God, or principles that are not of God, we're going to be swept away into the current of evil and the way of hypocrisy. Let's turn to Proverbs 4. Again, I'm jumping back and forth here. Sorry, you're going to be getting finger exercise. Proverbs 4, verses 23 and 27. Because one who is diligently seeking God needs to guard their minds with diligence. And this is what this proverb tells us here. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence. That means you're not sloppy. That means you're not, you need to guard the door of your mind 24/7. I mean, when you're sleeping, you basically are somewhat not so well equipped to do that. But this means you cannot take your thoughts off from the kingdom of God in that sense, because Satan is deceptive and he can move and put thoughts in your mind. You need to guard the door of your mind with diligence. That is full effort. Maximum output and effort to accomplish the goal. It says here to guard the door of your mind with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And it goes on to say, put away from you a wicked mouth and devious lips, put far from you. You see, that comes from guarding the door of your mind. We're going to find that when you guard the door of your mind, you're going to find that what your actions and your words are going to line more up with the word of God rather than the way of the world. So put away your wicked mouth and devious lips. Let your eyes look right on and let your eyelids look straight before you. That is, you're not going to look upon those things which are the evil of the world. You're going to focus on God, upon the kingdom of God, upon your calling. And it says to ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So, brethren, we need to recognize if we're putting in due diligence to watching and guarding the door of our mind, we're going to be walking in the way of truth and of righteousness and not falling prey to the ways of the world. Now let's turn over to Matthew 25. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time in Matthew 25, and I'm seeing my time is fleeing away, but let's go to Matthew 25, and we'll cover some important aspects of diligence versus non-diligence. Matthew 25, of course, is part of the Olivet Prophecy, where Christ is revealing to the apostles the time of the end. And Matthew 25 is focused on the church, upon those people who have been called out of the world to be part of the kingdom of God. And you are well aware of the three parables that are in this chapter, and I'm not going to have a chance to go through and read them to you this afternoon, but you're aware of it. You're aware of what they are: the five wise and five foolish virgins. We have the five profitable servants and the profitable servant and the unprofitable servant, and then we have the goats and the sheep. Each one of these parables, really, in one sense, is part of a separation that God is performing. He's separating those who have the makings of entering into the kingdom of God and those who do not. But another way of looking into this chapter is to recognize the ones who are not achieving the kingdom of God are not putting in diligence to achieve the kingdom. They're not putting in the effort, the work, the full strength of their mind and their focus on growing in the character of God and becoming more like God through the Holy Spirit. And let's read and we'll understand what this means. Again, God calls us, He gives us His Holy Spirit, but we have work to do. We have to apply the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's look at the first parable. Starting chapter verse 2 of Matthew 25. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. And the ones who were foolish who took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. We know the story. The five foolish virgins did not have adequate supply of oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. So they were not diligent in replenishing the Holy Spirit in their lives through prayer, through study, through practicing and working and building good works, fruits of the Holy Spirit. They were not working to renew the Holy Spirit, which God gives to those who obey Him. So they were called, and when they went to their vessels to get extra oil, there was none. And so they asked of the others, and they asked, "Give us some of your oil," that is to the wise virgins. And they said, "No, we can't do that. Go and buy for yourself." And so they went out to buy, and when they came back, and what did Christ say to them? And afterwards, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But He answered and said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." That's quite a profound statement. And so the unwise, foolish virgins did not have Christ in them, did not have the Holy Spirit, did not have the characteristics of one who is full of the Holy Spirit. So God did not recognize them. And He said, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the day nor hour in which your day is coming." Let's turn over to Revelation 3 and let's go look at the Laodiceans, because they have exactly the same problem. They're not being diligent in seeking the kingdom of God. Revelation 3, and let's read beginning in verse 15. "For I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you would be either cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm," not too excited, not being worked up very much about the kingdom of God, you're kind of lackadaisical, "I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. For I say to you, for you say about yourself, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you don't understand that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Because why? They were not putting in full effort. They were not putting in the work that they need to be doing to recognize that they needed a closer personal relationship with Jesus Christ to have the Holy Spirit in full measure. And so He says, "I counsel you," Christ says here, "I counsel you to buy for me gold purified by fire so that you may be rich, and the white garments that you may be clothed," the white garments of righteousness, "and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, to anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chastise. Therefore, be zealous," be diligent, put in full measure, do the work, and repent. I'm adding a few words to the scripture here, but Christ says we need to be zealous and put in full effort. The profitable and the unprofitable servants, back to Matthew 25. Again, the unprofitable servant, what did he do? He buried his talent in the ground. And that talent is what God provides through the Holy Spirit so that a person can grow and produce fruit and be able to develop character and develop the true riches of the Holy Spirit. Well, this person chose not to develop his talent, and he buried it in the ground. And God expects a return on His investment. He gives us His Holy Spirit, and He expects us to use that to build and to grow and to develop more of the mind of Christ and the very character that He wants us to have. And if we're not going to do that, then we are not being diligent, and we are falling short. So we must be diligent, brethren, in using God's Spirit and using the very thing that He gives us to grow in character, to produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and to show God the increase. That's what God wants us to have. And yet we have to be diligent, and God expects us to grow and to produce fruit. Matthew 13, verse 23, back a few chapters. Matthew 13 speaks about the sower of the seed. Matthew 13, verse 23. But the one who was sown on good ground, this is the one who hears the word and understands, who indeed brings forth fruit and produces one 100-fold, another 60-fold, and another 30-fold. So, brethren, we can see here that God wants us to take the ground that we have, the field that we are working in, and he wants us to develop fruit, produce, if you will. And depending upon your field, you may be able to develop 100, 60, or even 30. But do the best that you can with the soil, with the field that God, whatever the field that you have to work in, to do your best, your utmost, to be diligent and out there and the hoeing and the weeding, the watering spiritually, so that you can produce a bountiful crop for Jesus Christ. Finally, with the sheep and the goats, I'm going to make this a little bit abbreviated, but anyways, we understand the sheep and the goats, and that the goats did not understand the love of God. They didn't understand that in the love of neighbor and those who are in need. Because you go through this particular parable, and Christ pointed out, those who had needs, the sheep provided the needs for those who had need through love, compassion, and understanding. But the goats, they didn't see any needs. They didn't see where they could serve and provide the needs of others because they weren't looking, because they were blind to their own selfishness. And consequently, they were not being diligent in serving the needs of others. And God wants us to be diligent in showing love and compassion to others by helping them wherever we can in serving them. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, and we can see this aspect expanded, and we can understand what this parable is really showing regarding that the goats fail to have the love of God and to be able to serve the needs of the brethren and those who are around them. 1 John 3, and let's read verses 14 through 18. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. The one who does not love his brother is dwelling in death. We know that we have everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life dwelling within him. So John is being very clear here on terms of attitude of loving our brother as we love ourselves. Verse 16, by this very act we have known the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ourselves are to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his feelings of compassion from him, how can the love of God be dwelling in him? My little children, we should not love in word, nor with our tongues. Rather, we should love in deed and in truth. So, brethren, the aspect here of the goats, the sheep, understood the love of God, the love of brethren, and they served the needs of others, but the goats did not. And they did not, they will not achieve the kingdom of God. They won't, because they weren't diligent in loving the brethren. Well, brethren, let's finish up, if we will, in this message on diligence by turning over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's read starting in verse 3. You're familiar with this, and it's one that we all need to read periodically, because it shows that we, if we're doing what we need to be doing in our lives with diligence, that we can have confidence in God and confidence that we can achieve the kingdom. Verse 3, according to his divine power has he given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue, through which he has given to us the greatest and most precious promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's in this life. We take on the divine nature in this life by taking on the nature of Christ, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And for this very reason also, having applied all diligence, maximum effort, full effort, striving for the kingdom of God with all of your might, with all of your soul, with all of your being, full diligence. Add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. And here we see the building process that Peter describes. To knowledge we build self-control, and to self-control endurance, and to endurance goodness, and to godliness brotherly love, and to brotherly love the love of God. And Peter goes on to point out that if these things exist and abound in you, they will cause you to be neither lacking effort nor lacking fruit in the knowledge of the kingdom of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the one to whom these things are not present is spiritually blind, not diligent, not applying full effort, so short-sighted that he has forgotten that he has been purified from his old sins. For this reason, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Because if you're doing these things, you will never fall at any time. For in this way, you will be richly granted entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brethren, this shows above all else the importance of applying diligence in your life and applying diligence in my life. We all want to make it to the kingdom of God. God is merciful. He's working with us. We have our part to play. But if we let down, if we become lazy and slothful, if we are not putting in the effort of prayer, study, and doing those things we ought to be doing, we may very well fall short, as Matthew 25 shows. So, brethren, God wants us to put in maximum effort, zealously seeking his kingdom, doing those things that are pleasing in his sight, so that we may be fully prepared for the role that God has for us in his family. We can have confidence that God will complete his process. Brethren, we need to put in the effort, the hard work, the due diligence, so that in the end, we can hear the words from Jesus Christ, "Well done, faithful servant, enter into the joy of the kingdom."
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.